Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning, to be able to come into your presence and, Lord, to sing about your praises, for, Lord, you are truly so good to us. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have just blessed our life by freeing us from the sins that so easily entangle us, the things that weigh us down in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you have washed us white as snow. As we put our hope and our faith and our trust in you, Lord, we know that we have new life in you. And Lord, because we have this new life that's in us, your Holy Spirit life, Lord, we thank you that we have the confidence to be able to meet the challenges of every day that we face, those things that try to overwhelm us, those things that try to tear us away from our life in you, Lord, we know that we can have confidence to walk with you every single moment of every day. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it's through your Holy Spirit that we have ears to hear, hearts to understand your truth, your word. And so, Lord, as we come to this time of opening up your word today, I pray, Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us, that your Spirit would give us a heart to receive the things that we that are there for us today, Lord, and just help us to know with all assurance, that blessed assurance that you are ours, that you have come into our lives, and Lord, because that you are in us, that spring of living water can bubble up and just flow out to others, Lord, as we share your love, share your peace, share your word with those around us. Lord, so give us ears to hear, hearts to understand everything that is in your word today for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's so good to be able to be here today. And I'm looking out today and it's like a whole new church. You know, Carolyn commented to me this morning that it is so good after so long to be able to see people's smiling faces, eh? Isn't that? Yeah. So it's good to be able to be here in the house of the Lord today. So, you know, 2 weeks ago in our series that we started just after I came on New Beginnings, 2 weeks ago we began to look at the message that Peter shared when he stood up, raised his voice, addressed the crowds, and delivered that Holy Spirit-empowered word from God on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jason just read another portion of that for us today. You know, when you take a look at that message that Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, you know, his message is really remarkable. In that it was truly inspired by God's Spirit. You know, I've always wondered, when did Peter, you know, as a pastor, you know, I always think about this, you know, in preparing messages, you know, when did Peter have the time between the time they were filled with the Spirit and the time they went out on the streets to write his message? You know, sometimes it takes, you know, as pastors, it takes us a little while to get our message together, you know. But Peter, on that day, there was no time to prepare. No exegetical or homiletical methods were employed in its preparation. Yet he stood up, and in that moment, in the Spirit, it was an expression of the heart of the gospel in a very powerful way. And it's an example of Peter's total dependence in that moment on the Holy Spirit to speak into him the word that he was to speak out to all those people who were gathered on that day of Pentecost. Peter's message is truly remarkable, not only for its Holy Spirit-empowered origin, but also for its content and impact. You know, this message recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 41 is one of the most powerful evangelistic messages of all time, if you really stop and think about it. If there was a top 10 list of high-impact gospel messages, this one would be at the top, or at least near the top of the list. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Luke tells us that the number of people who accepted the message and were baptized that day was a staggering 3,000 people. So it had to be a powerful message, an enrolling message. This message, you know, when I think about it, you know, today we've got all kinds of master classes that are popping up on the internet and everything. Well, this message is a master class for us in how to present the heart of the gospel so that people are touched, moved, and inspired to consider the possibility of a whole new life in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's worth reading through over and over and over again. It's worth really just taking a really good look at it for what all of its component parts are. Because if we have difficulty, or if we're a little bit concerned about how do I share the gospel with someone out there in the crowd, out in the community around me, my neighbor, how do I do that? Well, come back to this message and look at the different parts to it, and you'll see, wow, what a masterclass. What a great place to learn. So this is what we're going to do over this week and the next opportunity we have to come back into this series, because we're going to take a little break with the Lord's Supper, and then next week, and then after that, we'll be into our Easter season, Holy Week. You know, that's coming. It's coming real quick. You know, since I began my ministry here with you 2 months ago, you realize it's 2 months? It's 2 months. It's been great. A great 2 months. You know, but when I started here, I started sharing with you a series of messages on the first Sunday of each month called The Five Conversations for Life. And in that series, I've been sharing with you from the stories in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, how Jesus ordered his life and his ministry around the five conversations for life. And so far, we've looked at the conversations for relatedness and possibility. And over the next few months, we're going to look at the conversations for opportunity and action and completion. You know, I bring that up because, you know, when you look at Jesus, you know, how he ordered his ministry was around these kind of conversations. He engaged people in the conversations for life. It was what he did best. It was how he enrolled people into following him, receiving him, teaching, and embracing him as Lord and Master of their lives. It was all in conversation. And so, you know, it was through the five conversations that he trained and developed the 12 and the 72 to be fishers of men. So, you know, it's not surprising then that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as he stood up and as he began to speak to the crowds, his training from Jesus combined with the inspiration and power from the Holy Spirit creates an empowering context for a breakthrough to take place in the hearts of the people who are out in the crowd. They responded to Peter and the message that he was delivering. You know, in this time of new beginnings as a church, we need to be reminded that people's lives out there in the crowd or out in the community around us will only be transformed by God as God's people make themselves available to be his witnesses. People's lives will only be transformed as we make ourselves available to have those conversations for life. You know, if we desire to see people embrace a new life in Jesus Christ and to see his church grow, we must make ourselves available to be the ambassadors of Christ that the Apostle Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, where he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you then on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, the reality is, you know, what Paul's saying here is that, you know, God's given us this beautiful gift of life in Jesus Christ. And he's called us to be people who are holding out reconciliation with God to everybody else around us because we have received so much. You know, the reality is, without someone speaking to the crowds out there, there can be no church in here. Because God has called us out of the darkness into the light. You know, it's what Paul teaches us in Romans 10, 14, and 15, when he says, "How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone speaking to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See, God has given us this gift of life in Christ because we have put our faith in him. But it's not a gift that we just hold to ourselves. It's something that we are to give out to other people. That's because how will they know unless someone speaks to them? You know, the truth is that every one of us who is here today who knows and loves Jesus Christ, we were once part of the crowd. We were out there, not in here. And it wasn't until someone spoke to us, engaged us in conversations for life, that we came to that place of responding to Jesus, the invitation to come into faith in Jesus Christ. And we called out to the Lord, and then we received salvation in Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Is that true of every single one of us here today? You know, many of us here today are here today because someone took the time to get to know us. and to help us to discover what was possible for us in a relationship with Jesus. We recognized the opportunity that was before us to receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. We got into action, declaring our faith in Him, and we now stand before God redeemed and restored, whole and complete in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful reality. What a blessing that we have received because someone took the time to initiate with us the conversation for life. Now, for the remainder of our time today and next week, let's explore together how Peter's message models for us how to enroll people into the possibility of a whole new life in a relationship with Jesus Christ through these five conversations. We're going to look at two of them today. Just kind of bring back some of the thoughts that we've been exploring in the first Sundays of each month, the last two months. Because Peter starts off, you know, in his message, you know, the first part of his message is about building relatedness with the crowd. He built relatedness. And, you know, the conversation for relatedness is all about sorting out who's who. Who are you to me? Who am I to you? Who are we to God? And who is God to us? As we discovered a couple of weeks ago, building relatedness with the crowd starts with generous listening. Listening to what people in the crowd are saying and then recreating them. Mirroring back to them what we've heard. You know, in our conversations with them, we want to let them know that we understand who they are. What they are committed to or not committed to. And that we get that they may be hesitant. Hesitant or even resistant to receiving the message of Christ. We just really need to understand that, you know, who they are and where they're at. Get into their world. Understand who they are. Because building relatedness is all about discovering who the other person is in the conversation. Their points of resistance in their life toward the gospel and acknowledging what their resistance might be, getting clear on what it is, and understanding what they're committed to in their life. You know, that's where it all begins. As a witness, it's not just coming and with verbal diarrhea or just, you know, hitting people over the head with your Bible. It's about really listening to people, getting to know where they are. It's an invitation. This is the conversation for relatedness is an invitation to create an open, honest, and personal relationship in which we can engage in a life-transforming dialogue. Really, that's what it is, a dialogue for life. You know, we see this in Peter's message. After listening to what the people in the crowd said, you know, some people were saying, oh, you're nuts, they're drunk, get out of it. Yeah, we don't have to listen to these people. Well, after listening to all of that, Peter engaged them by speaking to them, how? He said, fellow Jews, fellow Israelites. You know, for Peter, being Jewish and an Israelite himself, he understood their vital commitment to the covenant relationship that God had with them, with the people of Israel. He understood who he was speaking to in the crowd. He understood the deep down desire in his Jewish neighbors for a fresh experience of God's presence in a new and dynamic way. He understood their messianic hope. He understood that they were looking for the fulfillment of the words of the prophets, There was a real hunger in that community, that Jewish community, for God to somehow by his Spirit to revitalize the house of Israel. They were looking for the day that Messiah would come and bring them salvation in the time of their oppression. They were looking, they were hungry for deliverance somehow, somewhere, but they just didn't know where to find it yet. Peter understood that. He understood the crowd.
You know, sometimes we when we read over the stories in the New Testament, especially as we go through the book of Acts, we sometimes think, you know, we sometimes don't realize that Peter and John and the other apostles, they understood the deep down desires of the people that they were interacting with. Even those who were hostile towards them, they understood the commitment that people had to being in a covenant relationship with God. That's why the Pharisees put up so many barriers. They wanted to protect their identity, who they were. We forget that these fishermen were just plain ordinary people before Christ got a hold of them. So they understood the crowd. That's what the conversations for relatedness are all about. Peter understood what was deeply embedded in the hearts of the people in the crowd who had just celebrated the Passover and were now in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Harvest. He understood who these people were. You know, it really raises the question for us. You know, if we are going in these days, in this time of new beginning, as a church, as we seek to reach out to people and see this church grow, the question comes back to us, what level of relatedness do we have with those around us in the crowd, in the community? How well do we know our neighbors? Do we understand the real needs of people or what people out in our community are really committed to? You know, having conversations for relatedness with the crowd outside of this house will cause conversations for possibility to spring up to life. I can guarantee it. If you begin to talk to your neighbor, build bridges with your neighbor, if you begin to reach out in conversation with people around you, new possibilities will start to spring up in your conversation. You know, this is what happened with Peter. From that place of relatedness, Peter shared with those gathered in the crowd a passage of scripture from the prophet Joel. He knew what their hunger was. And so he met that with the word of God. Through the words of the prophet Joel, Peter declared what was possible for everyone listening to the message that day. It was a beautiful declaration of God's promises to bring his revitalizing presence within reach of those who were open to receiving him. It was a powerful declaration that God was the one who empowers his people and that he would once again reveal himself in all of his fullness, in the fullness of time. And it was a passionate declaration that when the Spirit of God begins to move in the hearts of his people and they let go of their resistance to him, then something extraordinary is possible. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What an incredible transforming possibility. Let me say it again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what's possible here. The prophet Joel envisioned the day when God's people would experience such freedom in the Spirit that their ability to witness for the Lord would flow with ease. There would be no reluctance. There would be no hesitation. There would be no fear. Just an outpouring of the life-giving message of the gospel of Christ. Like that spring of water bubbling up to eternal life that Jesus spoke of with the Samaritan woman at the well. A spring of water that turns into a Holy Spirit-empowered river of life. You know, I'm reminded of that song, you know, that kid's song. We used to sing it at camp. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Splish, splash within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Ah, that river of life. That's what's possible here. Stepping into the river of life, a river flowing freely, bringing the opportunity for others to hear the truth and then to respond with purposeful actions towards life in the river of God. Now, the question that comes today when we talk about conversations for possibility is this: how often do people see that river of life bubbling up in you, bringing that possibility into the conversation that this river of life that's flowing within you could somehow bubble over into their life? How is the river of life flowing in and through you today? You know, when Jesus' love is bubbling and bubbling over and flowing in our hearts, it can't be stopped. It will bubble over and bring the possibility of life to life in the hearts of others. It's just like that other song that we sang in Sunday school or at camp. Bubbling over. Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love is in my soul. You got it? Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love is in my soul.
Bubbling.
Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love is in my soul. Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love is in my soul. You know, when Jesus' love is bubbling over in us, then it becomes possible in conversations with others for them to step into the river of life. This is the possibility that Peter declared as he quoted the prophet Joel, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, in this time of new beginnings as a church, we do need to be reminded that people's lives out there in the crowd will only be transformed by God as we take up, or as we make ourselves available to be his witnesses, engaging people in the conversations for life, conversations for relatedness, where we purposefully build relationships with our neighbors through generous listening and understanding with large doses of love, the love of Christ, and the Holy Spirit empowered kindness, goodness, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit of God in every conversation. And then having conversations for possibility. In this, you know, in this time of COVID-19, with all the uncertainties, the doom and the gloom forecasts that cause much fear and anxiety, people in the crowd around us, people in the community, are looking for hope, looking for a future. They're looking for it to hold on to. You know, this is the kind of hope and the kind of possibility for the future that's found in God's word, that's found in our relationship with Jesus Christ and his promises that he has made to us and that we are to share with others. His beautiful, powerful, and passionate promises that he's declared to us. You know, it's our responsibility to engage in these conversations with people around us. And I close with this passage of Scripture as a challenge for us today. From the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:13 to 18. He says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, today, all we ask is that you would just move into our hearts today, Lord, filling us with that Holy Spirit boldness to be your witnesses, to be your ambassadors, as if you were making your appeal through us. Lord Jesus, give us the courage to be able to step out and generate conversations with people around us in our world. It could be our family members who don't know you. It could be our grandkids, it could be our neighbors, it could be people we meet in the store, standing in a line, waiting to go into a store. Lord, wherever we meet people in the crowd today, Lord, give us the courage to be able to build relatedness with them and to hold out to them, Lord, the possibility of new life in you. Lord, continue to do your transforming work within us as a congregation, as your called out ones, your ecclesia here in this place today. And Lord, so that we might see you breathe new life into these old bones. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.